Let me just read this over you. Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 14 says this. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nest. The stork has her home in the fir trees, the high hills for the wild goats, the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. Some of you are like, what is this? Let me just tell you something. When he talks about wine in the Bible, there's a connection between wine and the blood. What we just did during communion, we drank this juice, and it reminds us, it's a symbol of the blood. What does the blood do? The blood, the wine, it says, makes glad the heart of man. Aren't you glad today that there's a sacrifice for you? Aren't you glad? Let your heart be glad. Let him bring joy into your heart right now. Invite him in. Say, yes, Lord, I want the joy. I want the gladness that only comes from you. Thank you, Lord. Oil to make his face shine. What's the oil? When we see the oil, we see the anointing. We see the Holy Spirit. There's a connection all throughout Scripture. Oil to make your face shine. When you get the Holy Ghost, when you get filled with his presence, there's a shine about you. You look different. You act different. You speak different. Your life stands out because there's a shine. When you're walking in the supernatural, when you're walking in the Holy Ghost, you're going to look different. There's a shine. And bread which strengthens man's heart. What's the bread? The bread is the word. The word of God is the bread. When you eat from the word, what does it do? It strengthens your heart. Some of you came in today and you felt like you had a weak heart. You felt broken down and beat up from this past week. Begin to eat of the word. All of a sudden, you're going to wake up one morning and you're not going to be weak anymore. You're going to feel the strength. All of a sudden, it'll happen, but you got to eat. You got to start changing your diet. All you've been doing is consuming from the world. You've been eating from the world. What do? When we eat, it's not talking, don't actually take this paper and put it in your mouth, right? How do we eat the word? We read it. We speak it. We consume it. We listen to it. What are you looking at? What are you listening to? What are you consuming throughout the week that's making your heart weak? If you start to change your diet of what you're consuming, you're going to notice your heart begins to get strong. You're going to notice the gladness begins to come in stronger and stronger. And the oil shines brighter. The oil is for the outside. People see it. Your face shines. The oil is for the outside. The bread is for the inside. As you invite him in, as you come into his presence, your outside and your inside will change. It will transform. You will not look the same going forward. Change your diet today. Change your diet. Let's pray. Father God, I pray right now. Lord, I just pray that we would submit ourselves fully to you. Lord, we know that your presence is a consuming fire. Lord, consume us. Let us submit to your voice in this moment. Let us listen to your word. Lord, I pray that your word would strengthen people's hearts in this moment. I pray that the oil coming from your Holy Spirit, from the anointing in this room right now, that it would drench us and our faces would shine as we walk out of this place today. That there would be a glow about us, that our families would see it, our friends would see it, our wives, our spouses, whoever it is, that they would see it on us and that they would want what we have. And Lord, I pray that we would just offer it freely everywhere we go. That when people ask, that we would just testify. That we would testify to who you are and what you've done. Lord Jesus, I pray for healing in this room. where there's been back pain, I pray for healing in people's backs. Somebody's got pain in their left shoulder that they came in with today. Lord Jesus, I just pray for healing in your name. I just pray that they would begin to move their left shoulder. They'd begin to move their left arm, and it would just start to loosen up. Jesus, I pray that there would just be a fire right there in that spot, in their left shoulder where it's been tight and it's been uncomfortable. There's healing. Your word is healing. Your word brings healing into people's bodies. The church, leave your eyes closed. But if that was you, if you just got healing in your back, let me see. Put your hand up. Who was that? Invite him in. Let him do what he's doing. Jesus, I pray where there's resistance, where there's pride, where there's rebellion, I pray it would break today in your name. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and bring it, make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. I just felt led during worship to come back to this passage. We've been here before, but I felt like we needed to come back to it today. What does he do? What does he do? It says that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Do you want seed or do you want bread? Before you don't answer, before you even think about answering, you need to understand this. Like you look at the seed and it's small and it's insignificant, right? It's small and it's insignificant. It will not feed you that day. But you look at a loaf of bread. Just imagine you are starving and you haven't had a meal in days, and somebody gives you two options. They say, hey, you can have this seed, all this seed I got in my hand, or you can have this one loaf of bread. That one loaf of bread, it will feed you for a day. But if you'll take the seed and you begin to work it and you begin to work the ground, what's going to happen? It will feed you for a lifetime. Some of us, we keep wanting the bread, and God is saying, no, I've already given you the seed. If you would just steward the seed I've given you, if you would just use it, if you would understand the value of what's in your hand right here and right now, you would know I've fed you for a lifetime. I've given you more than enough. I've given you life in abundance. That's what he does. He wants to give you life abundantly. It says that in John 10. Do you believe that? Do you want life abundantly? Or do you just kind of, I just want it right here, right now. I just want it in this moment. I want to feel good. I want to feel fed. I just want it right here and right now. Ask him today for seed vision. Begin to understand seed vision. Begin to understand. You might think like you don't have enough and it's not much. And you might be looking at what you have and what Josh was sharing about giving, about tithing. You might be like, you don't know my finances. I don't care. If you got a penny, you got a seed. If you got a penny, you got a seed. And if you begin to sow, guess what will he do? It says you will reap what you sow. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. You're going to reap a harvest. But if you keep holding on to the seed that he's given you and clenching it in your fist and holding it tight and never sowing it when he's telling you to sow it, you're going to miss out on the harvest he's got for you. Seed vision. It's a biblical concept. It will change your life. Just begin to ask the Lord, Lord, give me seed vision. Help me to see what you've given me and to use it for your glory. Help me to see what you've given me and to sow it back into the ground so that we can reap a harvest. And I'm talking in every area of life. Some of you are like, you know, I don't got enough time. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough talent. I don't have anything. He's given you something. He gave three men different amounts of talents in the Bible in one of the parables, it says. And the one he gave five, guess what? He invested it. He sowed it. That's what he did. And he earned another five. But the one he gave one, what did he do with the one? He buried it in the ground. He buried it in the ground and he did nothing with it. He didn't invest it. He didn't sow it. He didn't do anything wise with it. No, he buried it and he hid it. He hid it and he sat on it. And he did nothing with what God had given him. And God took that away from him in the end. But the others were multiplied. They were raised up. There was a harvest that took place. You might think, all I got is one. I just got one. I got to hold on to it. I got to hold tight to it. No. That's a lie from the world. If you begin to sow and use what he's given you in life, he's going to multiply it. And your life, you're going to go from a 5-talent person to a 10-talent person. That's what he does. He will transform you. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Don't be an eater. Don't. If you just begin to sow, you'll get to eat eventually. You might be thinking, oh, I want to live how I want to live right here and right now. But if you'll just begin to sow, you'll be living better than those who are eating right now. It'll happen. It'll come to fruition. Some of you, I know people in this house, they have seed vision. I know there's people in this house that have seed vision because some of you, you've been with this house from the very beginning. And you just, what have you done? You kept sowing and you kept plowing and you kept working the ground and you kept praying and you kept seeking the Lord. And then all of a sudden, he just shows up. This house, this church, it's one of the greatest, most powerful seeds that God has planted in the city of Omaha, Nebraska. People don't even realize. Some of you, you're in the house. You've been here for a while. You know what's happening here. You saw some of the first fruits of the harvest last week. You saw it. You can't explain it. You can't put that in a box. You don't even know how to explain to somebody what happened in the house last Sunday. But you saw it. People were hit with the Holy Ghost. They were hit with his power, with his presence. But what happened? We've spent years sowing. We've spent years plowing. And just when the devil is getting you discouraged, like, I'm not seeing the fruit, I'm not seeing what I thought was going to come, I'm not seeing the harvest, all of a sudden, he moves. All of a sudden. Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. Write that one down. Proverbs 24, 16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The wicked fall and they give up and they sit there. The wicked fall and they don't get back up again. What do the righteous do? When they fall, they get back up again. When they fall again, what do? They get back up again. When they fall again, what do? They get back up again. They keep getting back up. That's what the righteous do. What do the wicked do? And we've all done this. I believe every one of us in here has done this. We've fallen and we did something. We got out of line from God's word. We stepped into disobedience. We stepped into sin. And all of a sudden, things just kind of fall and become a wreck around us. And then sometimes we weren't even walking in sin. Sometimes we were walking in obedience to the Lord, and something bad still happens, and our life comes falling down, and it crumbles around us. And what do the wicked do? The wicked sit there, and they just keep living in it. And they just keep ruminating on it. They just keep thinking about it. They just keep, this is who I am. This is my lot in life. It's always going to be this way. You'll have what you say. You'll have what you say. If you keep speaking that over your life, you're going to reap that seed. Your word that you speak is a seed. And if you keep sowing that seed of things always go wrong, things always go bad, things never go my way, it's always going to be this way, you're going to reap that harvest. But if you keep walking in faith like the righteous and you keep standing back up and saying, no, I'm going to keep walking with him because I know he's faithful and I know he's true and I know he's good on his promises. He always comes through. And those promises are for you. Every promise from the old to the new, it's still for you today. Understand that. So you keep on getting up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. 7 times 70. It doesn't matter. You keep getting up. That's what the righteous do. The wicked, they sit there in the mire and the clay and the muck, and they become a victim. You're not a victim. You're a victor in Christ. Change your identity. Speak a new identity over your life. It's not going to be the same today. It might have been that way yesterday. It's not going to be that way today. You're walking out of here different today. He's given you seed. Sow it by faith. Stop sitting in the mud and eating the bread. Get up. You're a farmer. You're not an eater. Get back to work. Farmers get back up to work every time. We got any farmers in here? Anybody that knows? Man, we got a church in Nebraska and we got no farmers. Lord, send some farmers. There's a farmer. Brennan Burling, he grew up on the farm. His grandparents know the farm world. How many times do you fall, but you just keep sowing, right? You just keep sowing. That's what you do. The righteous man may fall 7 times. Might feel like in your marriage, you just keep falling. Things keep going wrong. It's not getting better. You want to run and you want to escape. That's a lie from the devil. And you rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And you begin to speak the truth of God over your marriage. That marriage is a gift. That your wife is a gift. That your husband is a gift from the Lord. And you begin to change the way you speak over your marriage. You might see darkness and you might see a wreck. But the Lord sees a seed. And there's a harvest coming from that seed. Your marriage won't look the same if you begin to sow God's word into it. Begin to sow it by faith. Begin to speak it. You might look at your kids right now and it might look like a wreck. It might look like rebellion. It might look like disobedience. It might look like they are so far from the Lord. But you just begin to speak it by faith. That what is going to happen is going to be transformative. And that what does a seed do? When it's buried in the ground, it dies. And it's raised new. You keep sowing the seed of God's word, and you might think they're not listening, they don't want it, they're not taking it, they're not hearing anything, and you keep bringing your kids to church, even those kids that don't want to be here, and you say, guess what? You're the parent. You're the parent. You're the parent. You get to make them come to church with you. I don't know how many years left you got with your kids. Some of your kids, you're here. Kids, I see some of you. You're here today, and you're like, Mom made me be here. Dad made me be here. They love the hell out of you. Literally, they are loving the hell out of you. They are. That's what's going on. They're getting you into a Holy Spirit-filled church, and they know that it might not look like it on the outside, but the seed of God's word, which never returns void, it tells us in Isaiah, never returns void. It's being planted in the name of Jesus Christ. It's being planted. And so, kids, you might be fighting it. You might be resisting it. But that seed is in your heart. And you don't know when. You don't know where. But it's coming to fruition. There's a harvest coming in your life. Your life will never look the same again. You, it'll never look the same again. You, it'll never look the same again. There's a harvest coming. The Holy Spirit, woo, he's coming in strong right now. Lord, I don't know what is going on, but praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. It's weird every time. Some of you, you've been around this house for a while. You know when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, my left hand goes numb, and I don't understand, but praise God for the manifestation of his presence. He's moving here in this room right now. He's moving. One of you kids that I just looked at and I pointed at, there's a call on your life. There's a call on your life. He loves you. He loves you. You're here today for a reason. It's not an accident. It's not. He loves you. I'm looking. Yeah, you know I'm looking right at you. I see you. I see you both. I see you both. I see the power of God coming on both of you strong in your lives. Your lives will never look the same. He loves you so much. He's your father. He loves you. Right there. I see you. I see you. He loves you, man. He loves you. Both you guys. I see both of you. He loves you. The Holy Spirit is dropping down right now. The Word of God, it's moving in your life. He cares so much for you. I see you young men right there, and young lady too. There's a call on your life. There's a great call on your life. Just keep saying yes. Just keep walking in obedience. It's a simple yes, one after another. When you fall, this is for the young people especially. When you fall, when something goes wrong, when your life becomes a wreck, when it's a mess, and you're like, what is going on? I thought I was doing all the right things. I even went to church with my mom and dad. I thought I was doing all these good things. And all of a sudden you fall, the temptation will be there. I know this because I've lived it. As an adult, I've lived this out, and I've had this thought. When things don't go the way I want it, and I just feel that brokenness, I feel that anger towards God, and I feel mad, and I'm like, you know what, Lord? I was doing all the right things. I guess it doesn't matter if I do the right things. And so what would I do? I would go and I would sin more. I would go and I would jump in the darkness, and I would jump deeper into it. And I would say, well, Lord, it doesn't seem to matter. I've already fallen. You seem to have just let me fall, and so I'm going to go deeper into the darkness. The deeper I went into the darkness, the more I realized it was a lie from the devil. I thought it was freedom. It was slavery. Every time I tried to chase joy in the darkness, there's no joy. There's no gladness in the darkness. There's not. There's starvation. There's death. There's sickness. There's pain. What happens? It's because you're moving further away from the protection and the provision of the Lord. When you move away from the protection and the provision of the Lord, He can't protect you outside of His house. There's a supernatural protection and provision that happens within His house, within His lines, within His law. And so often when things go awry, when things get a little chaotic, we tend to blame God. But the truth is, we stepped into an area of disobedience, and there's no protection outside of that realm. There's no provision outside of that place. It's darkness. It's starvation. But when we repent and we say, Lord, your way is better than my way, and we step back into the boundary of protection that He's given us in His word, because that's what it is. It's protection. What you think sometimes, what you look at is a bunch of rules meant to keep you from having fun or living the life that you wanted to live, you begin to actually see, no. It was for your good. It was because He loved you too much and cared for you too much to let you live in the pain of living outside of His word and His boundaries that He created. Sex is a beautiful thing. It's an incredible gift. It was created by God. But what have we done in our culture? We've put it as a god. We worship sex. We worship the created thing and not the creator. When you look at pornography, what are you doing? You're worshiping a created thing and not the creator. It's idolatry. Sometimes we think, oh, no, I don't worship idols because I don't worship a little gold statue, a little silver statue. I don't have a little thing at home that I go and bow down to 7 times a day. No, I don't worship idols. No. If you worship the creature rather than the creator, you worship an idol. Paul tells us that in Romans. And so when we worship sex, when we worship the human body, when we lust after it outside of the covenant of marriage, what are we doing? We're stepping outside of the boundary of which God created for sex to be used between one man and one woman, husband and wife, in a holy covenant. It's holy. It's God's idea. It's not the world's idea. The world has stolen it. What's the world do? What's the devil do? He takes it. He takes what God has created and he counterfeits it. It's not real. It's a counterfeit. And so everything you've been chasing to find joy through sex in this world, whether it's through pornography or whether it's through sexual relationships outside of the covenant of marriage between husband and wife, what are you doing? You're worshiping a counterfeit. You're worshiping an idol. And so I'm just telling you this right now. This is going to bless your life and it's going to change your life. If you repent of that today, and you say, Lord, I want to do it your way and not my way, not the world's way. I want to worship you. I want to put you first. It's going to change your life, and it's going to bless you. Your life will never look the same from this day forward. Young people, some of you, God has protected you, and He's kept a hedge around you. But you have a choice to make going forward because there's temptation. What does the devil do? He's always trying to tempt. He's always trying to tell you, oh, just look, this is better. And he's just distorting God's word just a little bit. You can just kind of see how close can you get to the line. It's not about how close you can get to the line. It's how far you can run from it. It's how far you can run from the line and run back towards the fire of God. Because when you're near the fire of God, nothing in this world will satisfy you or tempt you. You will not desire it because he changes the desires of your heart. He changes the desires of your heart. And so all of a sudden, what's it say? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Don't you want that? I want the desires of my heart. But that can't happen until he changes the desires of your heart. When you step into his presence, when you lean into obedience, he'll begin to change and transform the desires of your heart. And all of a sudden, one day, you're going to wake up and realize, I don't want the things I used to want. I don't desire the things I used to want, the things I was chasing after in this world. I want what he wants. I desire what he desires. He's going to change and transform the desires of your heart. He's doing it already in some of you. We just got to stop and pray for a second. Just stop and pray. He's here. Father God, thank you for meeting us here. Holy Spirit, we just honor your presence. Lord, I pray for purity in this room. There's purity in this room being formed in hearts. There's a desire for purity. Lord Jesus, change us and transform us. Change the desires of our heart. Lord, I pray for protection around some of these young people in this room. Lord Jesus, I just pray for pure hearts, that they would just see the blessing of living a life of purity, a life seeking you, and that they would see that when they would just seek you first, everything else will be added to them. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, purify us. Lord, we love you. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. There's times where God will give dreams. It says in the last days, he's pouring out dreams and visions. If you start to get dreams, or if you start, a vision is like a dream, but you're awake. It's during the day, and all of a sudden you just begin to see something. A dream is at night when you're sleeping. There's dreams and visions all throughout Scripture. In the last days, he's pouring out dreams and visions, it tells us in Acts and in Joel. I saw this dream. It was about 2 weeks ago. And my wife and we were invited to this group with a bunch of church leaders. I couldn't see faces. I didn't know who they were specifically, but I knew, like, it was just all these leaders of churches from all over. And we were invited out to this cabin. It was like this conference. And in the dream, all of a sudden, we went from the cabin to this lake. It was on this lake. And all of a sudden, we were on a boat. And these leaders of churches, they convinced this young girl to get into the water. They're like, oh yeah, just get in. You can swim. It's fine. It was the strangest thing, but she was just this young girl and with all these church leaders all around. And my wife and I are like, what is going on? This is kind of weird. And all of a sudden, out of the water, I just saw this giant alligator come up and it just swallowed the little girl whole. And it was surrounded by two alligators on each side. And it went right back into the water. And the people we were with knew that was going to happen, and they began to laugh. And it was lighthearted to them. It meant nothing. When I woke up, I just felt the Holy Spirit begin to give me the interpretation. The little girl represented purity, purity in the church. And so many church leaders have looked at purity in the church and said it doesn't matter. They've made fun of it. They've mocked it. They said it doesn't matter. Oh, we've got grace. We can do whatever we want. We can live however we want. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Stop sacrificing purity. Stop it. This church, his church, is called to purity. It's called to holiness. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. But because we've been saved, because he's been so good to us, why wouldn't we want to walk in obedience and purity to honor the Father? That's why we do it. That's why we do it. Young people, that's why we walk in purity. You've already been saved. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you've said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be my Savior. Everybody wants the Savior. Nobody wants the Lord, because making him Lord means you honor him as Lord and you walk in obedience to him as Lord. You're saved by grace. He's a Savior, but you're also saying now he's your Lord. Will you walk in obedience to him today? Will you walk in purity today? I believe we will. I believe this is a church that's going to be different. I just was so sad, like watching that little girl swallowed by the alligator. She was sacrificed. It was a sacrifice. The church in the West, the church in America, has sacrificed purity. They've sacrificed it in the name of what they believe is success. In the name of what they believe gives them value, gives them power. They honor themselves more than they honor Jesus. The true bride, his bride, church, honors his word. We honor his death, direction. And we walk in purity because we honor him above the world. Worship team, would you get up here as we get ready to close? We get to celebrate today. We have a baptism this morning. Two? We got two baptisms. Praise the Lord. We're multiplied. There's a seed and it multiplied. I told you, sow the seed. It multiplies every time. We got two baptisms today. Listen when I tell you this. It's the first fruits of the harvest. This is a great year. What you're a part of, you're a part of one of the greatest seeds in this city. And what God is going to do is we continue to walk in obedience and honor him. All we got to do is just stay in the flow. Stay in the river. Just keep letting him take the lead in every area of your life. And just keep saying yes. We're going to worship. There's going to be baptisms up here happening. Our ministry team is going to be up here also. If you just need prayer, if you just need to confess to somebody, if you need to repent, if there's just something like the Holy Spirit's putting on your heart right now, you can come forward during this time of ministry. They're going to be right up here in the front. But if you just want to stand and you just want to worship and you just want to praise, do that also. Let's stand together, church, as we get ready to worship, to praise, to celebrate with these baptisms today, these people giving their lives to Jesus. Let's worship him.